brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.
There's no playbook for this. There's certainly no playbook for Appalachia.
Please let me know what we can do to try to help. And our numbers are always open. Just give us a call.
What he said in his statement to that community and to everybody was just incredible. And we want to help those people.
Welcome to another round of the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast here at Georgia Public Broadcasting. Thanks for accessing us however you are doing so. It is a very special Football Fridays this week because we have guests in-house at 260 14th Street Northwest, Atlanta, Georgia 30318. It is the new executive director of the Georgia High School Association, Dr. Tim Scott. And now, his title is GHSA Legislative Liaison and Consultant, Dr. Robin Hines. We tackle a lot of different issues. We go over NIL. We go over reclassification. We discuss what's going on in Rockdale County currently. We discuss what's going on at Appalachia. But our biggest topic on the board that we lead things off with is the aftermath of Hurricane Helene. Here's our interview.
Well, I want to talk, we both want to talk to you a lot about your new roles, but it doesn't feel right to get into that yet. We have a lot of current events going on. September has been a uniquely cruel month across the state. We've had Hurricane Helene, the Appalachia High School shooting, now a chlorine leak in Rockdale County. And this is obviously making Friday nights look a little bit different across the state, as well as all the sports. So let's start with Hurricane Helene and the damage it's caused across the state. Playoffs could be postponed. My in-laws are in Valdosta. They still have no power, probably not playing on Friday. But some of the numbers here, 16 of last week's 170 games were only played as scheduled. So that's 65 plus games that have been postponed or may never get played again. Have you guys spoken to the schools? What is it like down in South Georgia and on the coast right now?
Well, we've spent a good bit of time. I know they've called Dr. Hines and myself, talking to our districts and our schools, and it's painful to listen to. You know, if my heart goes out to them, the things that they are having to go through to just take care of themselves, the things that are most important, their safety and their health is most important right now. And we're certainly looking at everything we can do to try to help them out as we move forward. And hopefully we'll have some big announcements and maybe we share those ideas today, Dr. Hines.
Yeah. You know, when something like this happens, it's all hands on deck. And you know, having been the executive director for the past 7+ years, you know, there's a lot of people that I know that are comfortable with talking to me, and we've done that. I mean, the fact that Tim is available, I'm available, and one guy, Jay Russell, has done an awful lot of work as far as maintaining the schedules and getting all that together. He is certainly in there, and our goal through all this thing is, how can we help? What do we need to do? You know, the things, just make sure that we reassure everybody that everything is going to be okay, and we're going to come up with something. We may not know exactly what it is right now, but we're going to come up with something. And I've got a great deal of confidence in Dr. Scott and the way that I've watched him as a educator for the past 20-something years, and just measured and, you know, sound decision-making, and to be able to be in this position to help him has been, it's been good. It's been something comfortable for us, and we've got a lot of work yet to do.
A whole lot. And Dr. Hines, you know, the scheduling, the way we've had that open week at Thanksgiving really helps us out in this situation to be able to push the playoffs back a week and give the flexibility for each region to run what they need to do to finish the season and have that extra, you know, time.
Let me say this. You know, that's the first time you've heard it, because we just talked about it within the last 30 minutes or so. We've been beating it around since this morning, but to have flexibility to get it done, and it's really important for us playoff-wise and that sort of thing because of the postseason formulas that we use to get people in the playoffs and those sorts of things. But most importantly, it's going to give additional options for those people, like, for instance, down in Valdosta, who are hurting so badly. And talking with those people, Danny Redshaw, the AD down there, you know, he's called me every day, and he doesn't know what to do. They don't know what to do. He said, right now, we're just in survival mode. And the way Tim's thinking about this thing is the right way to help those people as much as we possibly can.
Okay, so Dr. Scott, break this down for me. So the fortunate idea of coming into this season, of having that Thanksgiving bye week, is turned into something fortunate that you've got as a vehicle now to give folks that leeway to finish that football schedule and even other sports as well, because it's not just football that's affected here, but football being the big marquee event here, you now have that leeway available.
Oh, absolutely. That's just what we're looking at, not just football, but we have, you know, girls flag football, softball, volleyball, cross country. I mean, we've got several activities that we're looking at, all of them. And I think that having that opportunity to push back, to give our school support, and but not just to give our school support, but each region of the state gets the opportunity to choose how can we best use this time to help our community and help ourselves as we move forward.
So the idea is now that the bye week that
I'm looking at the calendar.
All right,
here.
So you're looking at the calendar.
Yeah.
And so the bye week is now flexible to either finish something, or can you still have the option if your schedule's completed, you can still sit and nothing's going to happen. So what's the deal?
Yeah, it just provides an extra week for them to get it all done. So if we just take the playoffs and move those first couple of games and move those up, you know, there's not a bye within the playoffs built anymore, but we create that first week as another option for those who have really struggled and could possibly be a couple of games behind and be able to make that up and give regions that other opportunity while allowing everybody else to just stay on pace.
Okay.
Hannah. I mean, it's really wild because this is the latest the championships have ever been, December 16th through 18th. So maybe the schedule makers just knew something that we didn't know, because it kind of works out with schools able to kind of play catch up there. What is your plan this week and next to help some of the areas that are affected? Are you guys going to head down there or send some folks down there? Is there somewhere that people can donate or aid, or you know, what can we do to help, and what is the GHSA, I guess, planning on helping, doing to help?
Well, right now, we're just listening to what they have and they're reaching out to us. We don't have a site that they could go donate or anything like that, but they do call, and as I've told them, hey, please let me know what we can do to try to help, and our numbers are always open. Just give us a call.
Yeah, just manpower, too, just communities coming together.
But, you know, like I said, you know, down at Lowndes, Danny Redshaw, the athletic director down there, he's just – they don't know what to do.
No, I mean, because schools are, like, closed for the week for the entire week right now.
So they may not get – it'll be a week to 2 weeks, maybe 10 days before they get electricity in there. Their main transformer's gone, and I don't know all the details of everything. And his comment to me was, we're just in survival mode. We don't know what to do. And my response was, well, Danny, I don't know what to do either, but we're going to figure this thing out, and you know, we're going to work for our membership, and we're going to make sure that we create as much flexibility for them. And regardless of what happens, we will figure it out, and we will get through this, because our goal is to provide opportunities for young people. We know what it was like for them when we took that spring season away during COVID.
Yep.
We don't want to even approach anything like that. We want things to be full and get that full experience that they get. And that's what our goal and our mission is. I think you'd agree with that.
Oh, 100%. And like I've told them, I said, hey, guys, right now, worry about getting better. Worry about what you can do to take care of your kids. And I had one athletic director. He said, well, coach, what I'm doing right now is just trying to get a bus and get some food to them, get them up here so we can feed them and that kind of stuff. And so those are the things they're thinking about. Get water to them, you know, good, clear drinking water. And some of the communities have just been hit so hard. It's sad.
Coffee County, for instance, Coach Co has been checking on his players door to door. I know that they had a team meeting where they got to have cold showers, but kind of get together that way. And then maybe practice will resume sometime soon.
Well, they're trying to play.
Yeah.
And, you know, my wife read me his statement to everybody and talking about how important it was that they got this thing going.
Yeah. Just the kids' mentality, too. Keeping them busy.
Yeah, and I mean, I know.
Get them fed. Let them take a shower.
Basic necessities we're talking about.
Return to normalcy. Yeah. And, I mean, what he said in his statement to that community and to everybody was just incredible. And we want to help those people.
When you look at
this month. That's just one of the things that the GHSA has had to address on multiple fronts. Then with what happened at Appalachia, Appalachia's now coming out the other side. Thankfully, they got to play their first game. It was on the road, their first home game. They're going to have that first home game experience this upcoming weekend, and we're going to be there to cover that. I mean, there are a lot of different and unique things that you hope as an administrator and as an educator that you never face, that you guys are having to face at the GHSA. I mean, this is by far one of the most unique years slash months that I can ever recall in my 30 years of being around all this stuff.
Yeah, welcome to the association, Dr. Strong.
Yeah, it's been tough, but, you know, we got a great office, and I'm very fortunate. I've got, you know, a mentor here that took us through COVID that I can call and call on, and it's just been a team, you know, approach to it, and just trying to circle the wagons and see what we can do to, you know, give the best experience we can for our young people.
It's you talk about COVID. There was no playbook. Mm-mm. There's no playbook for this. There's certainly no playbook for Appalachia. And Ralph Neely, who is the athletic director there, just what a wonderful, wonderful guy. And in my conversations with him is like, what do we do? Yeah. You know, how do we get through this? We don't know. And nobody knows how you do those things. And to see a community of people, you know, throughout the state come together for them. And of course, you know, I don't know if people, the Falcons reaching out and providing opportunities for them to come to a practice and see those kids and do those things. Just as, you know, we're grateful for that partnership, and we may be in it, but we're in it together.
Mm-hmm.
This is kind of like a horrible thing to ask, but now that Appalachia has passed, that situation has passed, is there now like a protocol when this happens? Like if there is a school shooting in Georgia, does the GHSA have now like bullet points of what to do? I mean, what comes from something like so senseless and tragic like that?
I've spoken with many of our legislators and, you know, since that time, and I think we're going to see a lot of things that pertain to school safety, you know, and how best to allocate funds to districts so that we make and do a better job, maybe set in some protocols for outdoor activities or extracurricular things. You know, we don't know what that's about, but it certainly has piqued everyone's, focus. Yeah. so that we can do, you know, what is it that we can do to do a better job? And things are different in different places, and those things have to be thought through, but I know that is the case, and I think that's something that we're going to see a lot of discussion, maybe some financial allocations, maybe some statutes or something, you know, starting in January.
And I do agree with Robin that we'll see some things that help kind of make that a little solid, the safety piece. But the other side, each incident that happens is individual. And it's going to be different circumstances in all of them. And so sometimes you just have to take them where they're at. And you do everything you can to make sure young people are safe.
And then you mentioned that one other thing that has happened this past weekend is what's going on out in Rockdale County with what's going on in Conyers. Right now, it's something of a fluid situation. And a lot of folks driving on I-20, they see these large clouds and they're wondering what's going on.
Pictures of the smog in the neighborhoods.
Right.
It's really scary.
And so we're early in that discussion, but right now it seems like something is more of a wait and see, where you're trying to look at administrators in Rockdale County, engage their interest, because some folks are shelter in place. Some folks are just navigate carefully right now.
Yeah, and we'll just see if they get to play there. You know, they have games scheduled for tonight as well. We'll just sit to see if they have the opportunity to play them or not.
Yeah, and this is recorded on a Monday.
Yeah.
So I want to make sure that everybody knows that we will
Tim
keep
is
you
in
updated.
Tim is in contact with those
people. Oh, I figure that both of your phones and your Apple Watches are pretty much blowing up, and they have been. You're getting constant vibrations, and people are letting you know what's going on. It's got to be one of the biggest challenges that you've both faced as administrators, Dr. Scott. I mean, it has to be.
Yeah, not knowing what to say sometimes. It's like Robin says, you know, I don't know what to do in this situation. I've not been in a situation as a high school principal where I could say my kids didn't have electricity or water for multiple days,
yeah.
You know, or diesel to run a generator or gas to run a generator. And, you know, and, you know, trying to just go, like you said, door to door to see if your kids are okay.
Yeah. Well, you're being initiated into the state, into GHSA. Let's turn the page to some more lighter topics. We want to introduce you and welcome to the team.
Welcome to the being executive director of the GHSA.
So,
hey, thanks.
So you've got a great mentor here, and it's all full circle. You guys know each other really well. So your kids roomed together in college, and you were a principal. You were a principal, Dr. Scott, and then you took over, right, Dr. Hines? Tell me the story.
What was the loop here?
He was in Houston County as the principal at Northside High School and was going to take over the new career academy in town. And so I was coming in to Houston County as the principal at Northside.
And he was your mentor.
Yes, yes. And I tried to get down there as much as I could. As a matter of fact, when I would go to spend a couple of days at Northside, I would stay with him, you know.
Nice.
And so there was some hiring that was left to be done. I was in and out of there. I couldn't get it. And he just generously, graciously kept working there at Northside, even though he had his own school to take care of there in town. But he got us ready to go to so that we could start the year. And to make things worse, you remember, Tim, we were in the middle of a huge renovation project. I mean, it's amazing nobody got killed around that construction site at those particular times. But we forged a friendship there, and, you know, our kids kind of grew up together. And then, you know, Bobby and Kendall, you know, his son Kendall was one of the stars on the World Series, Little League World Series
really?
Team.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, and all that stuff. And they grew up playing ball together and all, and they end up at Georgia rooming together.
So, did you, when he stayed with you, did you have to put him in the garage with his guitar and his amp?
Do you play as well?
No, I don't.
Did you guys jam out in the garage?
No.
I figured he was going to be in the garage just like, you know, Kurt, man, I got to play. It's like, okay, well, the garage is right over there. No moments like that.
No.
You left your guitar at home or just in the trunk of the car.
There's a few around somewhere, I'm sure.
That is so funny. Well, now you're hanging on. So now you're returning the favor. You're hanging out as the legislative liaison / consultant. I love that, by the way. It fits you perfectly.
Yeah, well, you know, the GHSA has been a big part of mine and my wife's life really for over 50 years now. I mean, when you think about it, it's really, really important to me. And so I'm grateful that our board of trustees hired someone like Tim. We had great officers. We had a lot of great candidates and everything. But selfishly, when I told my wife that Tim had applied for the job, she was kind of excited about that because she knows Tim and we want to be able to hang around and be comfortable of being there and that sort of thing. And that was that way with most of those candidates, you know, I would say. But then when they selected him, you know, we're pretty excited about that. And you know, when I talk about Tim being a good school man, I mean, he just really is. He told me, he said, look here, will you hang around and help me? I said, for how long? He said, as long as you want to.
Indefinitely.
I did. That's exactly right.
But he said, you know, I know what I don't know. And so, you know, more help I can get. And of course, I'm excited about being there. I feel really good about that. And it provides that transition. And I'll, of course, you know, help him. And we've made some great relationships in the legislature. And those guys up there really do a good job. And you're going to see this time them come together in a nonpartisan way to do what's best for the young people in this state. And I enjoy that, believe it or not.
Because one of the tenets that I always learned early on in hanging around with coaches, always surround yourself with people who are smarter than you. And that's the key to being a good head coach. Let me ask you this. Why did you think now was the time to apply for being the executive director of the GHSA? Had you thought about it, you know, in ideas past or younger in your career?
I had not thought about it at all. I was a high school principal for 14 years, assistant superintendent for a while, and then I was 6.5 years as a superintendent of schools. And when I heard he had retired, I thought to myself, well, you know, now's the time. And I had a couple of years left on my contract, so I'd have to talk to my board members as I was doing this. And So I just thought, well, I'll give it a shot. You know, talk to my wife, and she said, "Hey, I'm all for it if that's what you want to do." And so that's what we did. And you know, Dr. Hines has used the word "hang around." Well, he's not hanging around. He's a valuable part of our, you know, and I do call him and lean on him a lot, and I appreciate that. And I don't know if he hadn't have been willing to do that if I really wanted to do it or not, because, like he says, I don't know what I don't know. I know school, and I've been, you know, done that part, but he's had 7 years and guided us through a pandemic, you know, and so it's important for me that I enjoy having him around. He's my friend, and, you know, I trust him and call on him, and I want to make sure that we continue to do what he has led and done for this last 7 years, and we just build on that.
You thought, if Dr. Hines can do it, then I can do it.
With his help, I could do it. That's
we
for
love
sure.
Joking with Dr. Hines. Well, you but guys, you know, seem like the dream team here.
Well, I'm just telling you, what people don't understand is, well, we got 15 employees there. I mean, it's a statewide organization. There are 15 employees, and there is a lot to do. And I know that there's a lot to do. For me to be able to stay in and help him with eligibility, for instance, you know, I mean, basically, you know, There are four of us that have anything to do with eligibility, and what you need to understand is there's going to be more than 450,000 pieces of eligibility. Mm. You know, and many of those have to have a hands-on thing. To be able to help him with that, to give him some breathing room to learn what he needs to learn and learn the staff and who does what, you know, it's so specialized all the time because there's not a lot of crossover because we work as a lean team. And so it's a pretty good situation for us right now.
Well, let's get into some other topics, and I want to get your opinion on what you think the most important topic is. But let's talk about NIL first. We got your take on it last year, Dr. Hines. We'll revisit that. What are your thoughts on NIL, which is name, image, likeness, in the high school space?
Well, you know, of course, each student owns their own name, their own image, and their own likeness, but that. Pay for play is not where it doesn't need to be in high school. And we're going to try to ensure that we continue to do that. And of course, we're not just looking at our NIL policy. It's also the amateur status and those kind of things. And so, I think that's important that we continue to keep high school sports where it is right now and that we don't get in where we're, you know, influencing players to try to move and do things for money and status, and you know that doesn't belong
at the high school
does
level.
Not belong in the high school level whatsoever.
What do you think, Dr. Hines, is the biggest element of name, image, and likeness that either parents have a problem understanding, athletes have a problem understanding? Is there one aspect of it where it's like, well, we thought we could do this when they really can't? Is there something that you always have to constantly remind student athletes and administrators and coaches, hey, you can't do this? You can do NIL to a point, but you can't do this part. You can't do this part. That's a no-no. What's the biggest issue that you think you have to tackle?
It's unbelievable how big this thing seems. Mm-hmm. And how small it really is. As a matter of fact, Tim and I were talking, I guess, at the end of last week, and I went and pulled the data up, and I think we've had 26 NIL activities since the end of school last year. That's not very much.
No, it's not.
And most of those, and I like to do this all the time, there's a guy that owns a Mama's Kitchen in Barnesville. And each year he helps a male and a female athlete, and you know, they post on their social media about what a great restaurant that is, and it is, and they get a free meal. That's typically what those things are about. You know, you may have some high-profile athletes that do get some good deals, but you've got to figure what people are looking at. They look at what's going on in the NCAA. We do not have a transfer portal. We do not allow collectives. We decided that we needed to specify collectives and NIL clubs, which were nothing but money-making ways to pay kids to play, really is what it was going to come down to. And those things would have been outlawed or violations under our policy. But you have to look at the guidance that we have as far as NIL is concerned. But you have to, like Tim said, you've got to look at the amateur rule, you've got to look at recruiting, and you've got to look at undue influence. So really, what people think NIL is, is illegal in the GHSA anyway. So it hasn't been that big of a deal, but it seems salacious and fun to talk about.
So, can the kids get the free meal, or is that a no-no?
Yeah, they can get the free meal as long as they're not using the intellectual property of the Georgia High School Association or the school. You can't wear your jersey. You can't use footage of you playing football. You can't use the facilities at the school. Those belong to the school and the association. But what you can do is bring your own pretty face and smile.
And be outside the restaurant in Lamar County and sit there and go, you know, ding.
Yeah, absolutely.
Exactly.
It's just so crazy. When I worked at Alabama and the SEC Network like 6 years ago, we could not buy a meal. We could not buy a player a meal, even if they were hungry. It was against rules. But now, obviously, all of that has changed so much. Next topic, reclassification. Hey, we got rid of a whole A this year.
Well, you and I have thought that maybe two would be okay at some points as well down the line, but I'll take one.
Yeah, we will take one. Thoughts?
Our joke was that, we went to six.
Okay.
And because I knew I couldn't get five.
Yes. Yes.
But we did that, and we needed to do that. There's travel, for instance. And there are a lot of places that don't have any travel issues and all. But you get down into, 3A and below down in southeast Georgia down there, the travel is brutal. And if we can just help with one or two, let's talk about football, one or two more region games, for instance, that is really beneficial for that. I think, and I'm going to let Tim expand on that, and when we talk about competitive balance formulas and that sort of thing, because we may be able to go to just six period, that could do away with public, private, charter, all that stuff. It's just schools now, and you have a competitive balance formula that can help us down the road.
Yeah, and we are discussing a competitive balance formula where everything's decided on the court or field. And exactly how that's going to work, that's what we're discussing. And so that'll be a part of our discussions at our meeting in October, on October the 7th. And it's really looking at how you rank against your teams. And it's kind of like our postseason rankings, a little different, but sort of like what we're doing this year with that, to try to have a formula that puts you on there. And instead of moving by sport, you'd move by school. So if you were one of the top fives in 5A, you may move to 6A, or for you on the bottom five of 5A, you move down to 4A. And hopefully over time, that would be a little more competitive of all our schools.
Because it would be. Yeah. It'll give people an opportunity to compete that never get to as it is. And it just, instead of stretching out like this, it'll be more like this. Mm-hmm. And if five can go up and five can go down to keep those things balanced and then you're really competing against people that you're more able to compete with. And when Tim talks about, people say, we'll do it by sport. Well, what about the dual gender sports? Mm-hmm. What about basketball? Think about you'd be doubling the travel and all that sort of thing. So, mm-hmm. We feel like it's better if you move as schools, and if five go up out of a classification and five go down out of a classification and others are going in there that are more like them competitively, after you do that two or three times, it's going to be really set in stone and really good. So we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, we'll see. And we'll have those conversations, when to start it. When do we start looking? When do we start holding data? And, do we have another reclass and then do it? Or, just where are we at with all that?
Because there was a point before this current round of reclassification where, and it seemed like it was in the middle classification numbers, where you had teams, and in the smaller classes, where you had teams that were well below 500 that were going in as a four, and they would either forfeit or it would be a blowout, and you'd have a lot of four seeds that really, you could tell competitive balance was going to be an issue there. And I think that at least trimming 1A to get us down to where we are now is helping that competitive balance. And it should, especially in the postseason, where you're going to have, you and I looked at the regions, and the regions currently now in Middle Georgia, the Middle Georgia region that's got, Perry and that region is just knocked down, drag out in Houston County. And the same thing in the old Region 1 down in Single A, where you're getting all of this competitive balance back after trimming that 1A.
Yeah, some of those regions are pretty tough to play in.
That's unbelievable. It's like the SEC.
Yeah.
you know, five of the top six teams are SEC teams.
And
you know,
but somebody's going to have to do it as a four.
Is there like a formula? Is there like a formula for your competitive balance? How are y'all going to come up with this?
There is a ranking based on where you place, you know, making the playoffs and that kind of stuff. And in every sport. And then you look at a total number, or that's what we're talking about right now, a total number to see where you rank among all the teams in your classification.
Short answer is yes.
Okay. I'm not going to come up with a formula. Yes.
No,
John's not going to.
No.
Hey, we're way down this road, and there's there's a couple of guys, a couple of ADs who have done this as a pet project of theirs for many, many years, and I think it was the first reclassification that I came up with. Adam Lindsay was the athletic director that started talking about this idea, and everybody just kind of dismissed it at the time. And I got to thinking about that thing. I went, that makes some sense. Now we need to start going and nurturing. And then we kind of got behind it a little bit. And Don Kaur in our office, who is just a math guy, and he loves that stuff.
Yeah. Wow.
And he's a special person.
He does. And he does a great job with it too. And we began to look at it and met with those people and looked at their mock-ups, and it works. I mean, it just works, and we've got to get there, but you're going to have to get past. There's still going to be people that have been ultra-competitive and winning in this thing, and they're afraid they're going to lose that. But let's do what's best for the membership.
Yeah, and then you're going to have folks who are going to sit there and look at it as promotion relegation. It's like, well, we weren't good enough in this class, so therefore, you know, don't look at it that way. Look at it as improving your competitive balance, not that your win-loss percentage or your win-loss record wasn't what it was, that you know, you're having to go down a class. It's to help you out in this particular situation.
And students are always coming through. So what, you know, what happens down the road, you've got those teams that have been winless and hadn't won very much for years, and all of a sudden they get the right people in there and they start winning. So you never know what winning a few games could turn it a whole thing around, change the culture.
Let's compete is what we're saying, compete.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Speaking of competing, championships,
yes,
back in the bins,
yes.
December 16th through 18th. So that was a lot of fun to be back in the bins.
And that is immovable. That is
immovable.
16, 17, 18, that is where it's going to be.
Yes, on GPB Sports.
Yes, excellent plug. Nicely done.
That's a long 3 days for us. But it was a lot of fun back in the bins. So that was successful last year. And we have great relationships with the Falcons and the bins. And so what's the, any new news, any new game plan for that?
No, we feel good. We've got a meeting coming up shortly. Of course, it's not the first meeting.
Yeah.
You know, we've been meeting all along with the Falcons and Mercedes-Benz, and we feel good about things. You know, we saw some things last time that we can improve on to make it better for the Georgia High School Association and its membership of participating schools. So we're really excited about that, and it's going to be great.
Yeah.
I mean, it's the best facility in the world, and for us to have the opportunity to be there is really good. So
yeah, I'm super excited. Not just the football, but then flag football as well. So, I mean, there's nothing like it in the country.
Next topic: flag football. So
Hannah's notes.
Have we brought on another A this year, or are we waiting another year? I know there's three A's now in flag football. Or three classifications, I'm sorry. There is the...
There's another championship added.
There's the Division 1, 2, and 3. So is there... Are we getting closer to the Division 4?
We don't...
We're probably going to be about 280 schools this year.
Right.
Isn't that right? And
last year was about 250, so more schools.
So yeah, we got more schools this time. I think three's going to do it.
Okay.
And have one... Don't we have one for each day?
Yeah, one each day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
the first game of the day, championships.
Then let me ask you this, and this has been one of Ernie Yarborough's pet projects since the absolute beginning, is the growth of flag football, the birth of flag football. If I was to ask you, how would you, for a school that does not, for a member school in the GHSA that does not currently have a flag football program, what would you say to them to encourage them to have a flag football program so they can enjoy what the other schools are seeing out of flag football?
Oh, God, when you talk to those coaches that coach flag football or schools that have it, just the opportunity for those girls to compete, and it hadn't taken away from other things. It's just grown. It's just an extra opportunity for our young people to compete in an event. And And I'm gonna tell you now, those girls, they are competitive.
Yes, they are.
It's fun to watch.
Let me throw in there as well is we can't thank Mr. Blank and the foundation and the Falcons enough for their partnership. You know, I'll just tell you about Mr. Blank. There's a move for all the NFL teams to adopt their state but really do what we've been able to do here. And, you know, Mr. Blank has even made the statement, so I've heard, I'm not speaking for him, that he'll pick up and help anybody that needs that help. And what they do with grants for our schools to get started that can be used to cover stipends, you know, for coaches or uniforms or help with officials and all that, they're willing to do. And they have been great partners of ours, and we're just appreciative to, you know, Chris Millman and Amanda Dinkle and Mr. Blank and Rich McKay has just been such a big support of anything that we've done all along. You know, we're just grateful for that and for that partnership.
Gives me chills.
Oh, I love it.
It's just, when you have, I feel like we've been a small part of watching the growth over the past three or four years.
But I mean, amazing. When you have a program like Southeast Bullock, who has
undefeated over a lifetime,
nationally ranked Southeast Bullock, never lost a game ever in their program history, three straight championships. When you get to see a town like Brooklet, Georgia, and Southeast Bullock High School,
and people are like, where's that? You know, and they're killing it.
Uh-huh. And to have that kind of impact in a new sport, to me, that hits the cool scale like you wouldn't believe.
Husband and wife team of coaches.
Yeah.
She is the head coach.
Correct.
And she is the head
coach.
Yes, Marcy is.
Marcy is.
And she is tough, and they do a great job. Not a good job, but a great job. And so excited about them.
No doubt.
Dr. Scott, so after all these topics we've covered, what do you think is most important? What's number one on your list to tackle?
Oh, I mean, there's a lot that we do every day, but I say number one on my list is continue to provide the excellent support and opportunities for our young people throughout the state that Dr. Hines and the staff has done for 7 years. That's the most important thing, is to make sure those young people have an experience of a lifetime. And, you know, like we just talked about, having those young ladies and young men playing in Mercedes-Benz, there's not a better facility. And, you know, to continue to provide that. And, you know, I'm going to brag on Dr. Hines for, you know, what is it, 5 years now, we've not charged dues our catastrophic insurance to our schools. And this year, again, we're giving them a member share back. And that's that kind of support for our schools to continue to do that and provide those experiences for our young people and support our schools. That would be the most important thing for me up there, is to make sure we continue to do that to the very best of our ability, like he did.
And Dr. Hines is trying to get a few more gigs in each month, right?
Man, listen, I just really honestly got moved into my new house, you know, like where
literally
I'm not
working.
Literally. Yeah, I think I've been there full time about 2 weeks, like all my clothes out and in drawers and stuff.
Hey, he was using GPS to try to figure out how to get home.
That's wow.
Right.
Amazing.
That's right. So that's a great opportunity for me. Kim and I have been married for fixing to be 42 years.
Congratulations.
And I like being with her more than I like being away from her.
Yeah.
And I have my grandchildren up in the Athens area, and my children and that sort of thing. But to be able to do that and still be involved.
Still be a part of
it.
You're not going anywhere.
Is a big deal for me. And I will say this, that, you know, Tim is a really smart guy. He's a great educator and has been for many years, and he's a quick study. And initially we talked a lot, and lately not so much anymore. He's got it going.
This weekend did.
Well, yeah. that's true, but that's more like you know, I'm not in the office next door, and of course that's how I did things when I was there. I'd walk to my associate directors and that sort of thing, and that's how he does. He's got a great staff that they can talk and do those things together. My office next door just happens to be the telephone.
Yeah. Well, all joking aside, I think the state of Georgia is super lucky to have you two as overseeing and the head of the GHSA. So Tim, welcome. Robin, you're not going anywhere. And I really feel lucky to work with you guys. And everything's always been so smooth. And the schools are lucky as well.
Well, we're lucky to have you guys as partners as well, and excited about the new contract. Yes. And all that we've got. To, you know, y'all doing
five more years of us.
Yeah, you do an outstanding job. And you know, we appreciate the leadership here, but we appreciate you and all that you do on a daily basis to accentuate high school sports in the state of Georgia. Because, you know, it's not my opinion, it's the truth. You know, we lead the country in just about everything we do as far as an athletic association for high school. And it's because of the passion that our people have and the passion that our partners have, and what y'all enable us to do this. And so thank you.
Yeah, it's super working with you guys, and me having that opportunity, I'm very thankful and looking forward to it.
It's going to be a fun one, almost playoff time.
See,
making John blush, by the way.
No.
A little flush, John.
Two things. Does this mean that we're getting both of you on a championship weekend when we have the interviews? Are we getting both of you at the table?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay. Absolutely.
We do a lot of things together like that. Yeah. We go speak at conferences together and all that stuff. We've really enjoyed it.
Yeah. You came up to the desk last year with me, so now we got to have both you guys at the championships, at our big pretty set that
yes,
we have.
The big pretty set. Yeah. So to recap, once again, we talked about it at the beginning. I want to recap it again. With everything going on with Helene, mm-hmm. what is the current thought pattern of the GHSA with the bye week and the playoffs and getting everything squared away and consulting with schools? Recap that for folks that might have missed it off the top.
Well, it's our hope to get something out before lunch tomorrow that kind of explains what we're doing and hopefully pushes that playoffs back a week and gives everybody an extra week and maybe some relief there, but then explaining that regions have the flexibility to use that time as they want to use that time and may use it differently in different parts of the state depending on how they were affected.
There we go.
There we go.
This was cool.
Yeah, thanks for coming into the studio. We got another big game on Friday. It's the Region 8 6A showdown between Collins Hill and Buford. Mm-hmm. You are not going to be there, though. What game are you going to be at?
Thomasville will be celebrating the 50th anniversary of their national championship.
Wow.
And so, you know, I was in school there at that particular time, and they've invited me to come down and celebrate with them. And there's also like a museum part of their new field house that's in there that looks really good.
Yep, Lou Nunnally?
Lou Nunnally, as a matter of fact, I think I have a couple items in there.
Wow.
So I want to see that.
Cool. Well, that'll be awesome. We always love seeing you out at the games.
And our web game.
It's the Jackson
County
game.
Jackson County. Appalachia. It'll be great to see that environment
up
there. Dr.
Scott,
as well.
You heading to a game on Friday?
I am, and I'll have to look and see. I did have one. I was going to Far South. I have two sons that coach, the one in South Georgia. I was going to try to get down there, but they've had a change in plans, so I'm going to have to figure out where I'm going this week and see, you know, what we do. But that's a great thing about this is getting out and watching the teams and talking to officials before the game and coaches, you know, before the game. It's really a great opportunity.
As we've seen Dr. Hines at some of our games already this year. He's been hanging out with us.
Do your sons coach?
I've won at Richmond Hill.
Okay.
Oh, Matt Lazat's staff.
Yeah, and he's offensive coordinator down there. And then the other one is in Dalton, Georgia. He's a quarterback's coach.
Wow. Okay.
All right. Very cool. It's like just football all around.
See, now we're going to have to check in with Dalton and Richmond Hill and see what's going on there.
Yeah, we sure are.
The new executive director of the Georgia High School Association, Dr. Tim Scott, and the legislative liaison. And consultant, Dr. Robin Hines. It's great to have you guys here to talk about everything with the GHSA. Thanks for dropping by here on the Football Fridays in Georgia podcast.
Pleasure's ours.
Hey, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Brought to you by the Georgia Governor's Office of Highway Safety, reminding you to buckle up, Georgia.